And I'd be grateful if you would take the Bible, which you'll find in the seat in front of you, and turn to page 589. Page 589. Now, you children may not know this, but we, in these services at 10:45, have been looking at the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. And we got now to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which I thought was brilliantly portrayed. I hope you're able to see, all of you. If you weren't, you missed something, because it was brilliantly portrayed by the Pathfinders. Very simply, but very, very helpfully. So page 589, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. And this is the next installment of the program, Friends. It's not much fun being alone. When you're in the playground and everybody else seems to have a friend, everybody else is joining in a group or a game or having a good talk with other people, and you are all on your own, lonely and rather miserable. It's not much fun being on your own as an adult at work. It can seem glamorous to run your own business. But when there's so much paperwork and endless phone calls and difficult decisions to take with no one to talk them through with, it can be hard and lonely. And though you don't like to admit it, very worrying. You may call yourself John Smith Associates, but actually you're on your own. And that's why Ecclesiastes, the book in the Old Testament that we're reading at the moment, that's why Ecclesiastes talks about friends. Friends for children and friends for adults. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. This is not about marriage, it's about friendship. And the first thing Ecclesiastes says is, a friend can help us in our work. As he says here, two have a good reward, a better reward, for their toil. So here's a woman who runs a shop. In the early days, she did it on her own, but she's so glad now she has an assistant. They have their different gifts. She does the stock taking and ordering. Her friend is better than she with the clients. She's not working herself to a frazzle anymore, and the sales are gradually going up. Two are better than one, says Ecclesiastes. And then Ecclesiastes gives another example. Look at verse 10. Two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. The other day I was running in the wet and fell down and bruised myself badly. No one was there with me, and I felt rather sorry for myself. You're supposed to go. But how great it is if you fall down in the street or the playground to have a friend with you, to comfort you and care for you. It's good to have a friend, says Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one. And here's the next example Ecclesiastes gives. Look at verse 11. Again, if two lie together, they are warm. But how can one be warm alone? This isn't talking about a married couple in bed. It's talking about friends. In the old days, in the days of the Old Testament, friends often curled up together under a blanket or a cloak to keep each other warm on a cold night. And so it is today. When we go on holiday, if there's an extra double bed in the house, our girls often like to snuggle up together to keep warm, and because they're friends. At least most of the time, they're friends. Two are better than one, says Ecclesiastes, if you want to keep warm. Look at the next example, it's verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. If you walk down a street alone and you see a big lad coming towards you and he scowls a bit and looks as if he'd be pretty strong, you might be afraid if you were alone. But if you're with a friend, says Ecclesiastes, somehow you feel braver. You think he's less likely to attack you when it's two against one. And anyway, with two, probably one or both of you would be able to escape and raise the alarm. Being on your own is sometimes frightening, but much less if you're with a friend. Then verse 12 ends, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In other words, a rope made of two strands is strong, but with three strands it's stronger still. This is not saying it's best if Jesus can be part of your friendship, though of course that's true. It's saying to be three friends is even better than to be two. To be three people working together and enjoying each other's friendship and supporting each other is better than just being two. The more good friends you have, the better. So what's the message of this part of Ecclesiastes? It tells us it's good to have friends. Good to have people whom you enjoy being with and who enjoy being with you. Good to have friends at work, so that work is not just a place where you do a job in isolation from others or competing with others. Work is a place where you have people to support you and encourage you and whom you go out of your way to support. Good to have friends at school, people to play with, to laugh with, and to cheer you up when you're feeling sad. Good to have friends where you live, neighbors whom you get on with, whom you have into your home, whom you talk to, and can share joys and sorrows with. And if we don't have friends like this, and some of us may not have, we need to pray and ask God to give us friends. And often people have one special friend. I wanted to ask you to turn to one more passage. It's in the New Testament section of the Bibles. That's right towards the end of the Bibles on page 104. Page 104 in the New Testament sections of the Church Bibles. And it's John's Gospel, chapter 15. And I'm going to read again what Sarah read to us so well. Verses 13 to 15. Jesus said, John 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Here Jesus says he can be one of our greatest friends. And he shows he's a friend in two ways. First, he shares what he knows with us. Look again at verse 15. No longer, he says, do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't really know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends because all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus doesn't keep us in the dark. Because we're his friends, he wants to share everything with us, to tell us all that he knows. And he does that as we read the Bible, either alone or in the family with others. It's as if he's behind us, leaning over our shoulder, pointing out what's important for us in the Bible, sharing with us what he knows we need to hear. And the second way in which Jesus shows he's our friend is by dying for us. Look at verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus loves us, and he loves people all over the world so much that he was willing to die for us, to take our sins into himself so that we might be free from sin. You could never show love more fully than that. As an old hymn puts it, "This is my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend." Do you know Jesus as your friend?